Thank you for listening to this service from Calvary of Albuquerque. It's our hope that this message will help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Tonight is a special night. It's a special night because we're here to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. It's a special night because we're going to include the ordination of some new pastors and those who are ordained as well as licensed, and we'll explain that in a moment. So it's special because the family has gathered together for this purpose. We are in one accord, in one place, celebrating this time together. I wonder if a church ordination committee or pulpit committee or governance committee went through some of the biblical people, the biblical heroes, and were to consider them for pastoral candidates. One supposed what it would be like, and this is how it goes. The committee regrets to report that these candidates in question have failed to meet our qualifications. Noah. Even though Noah has preached for 120 years, he has no converts. This indicates a credibility gap. Abraham. We find it odd that he has two names, Abram and Abraham. Is he using an alias? And if so, why? Also, we must question whether he's the head of his own household. His wife laughs whenever he talks with God. Moses. We were impressed with Moses, except for two severe problems. One, he's been known to lose his temper once in a while. Number two, while he seems to have the necessary perseverance for preaching, his stuttering and stammering would defy all speech therapy. David. David is talented in writing music and poetry, but we don't know if he can preach. Worse, he's had a few moral lapses. We couldn't have him as a pastor. Maybe later he could be considered as minister of music. Isaiah. There's a serious PR problem with Isaiah. Imagine a preacher who, in meeting God, instead of addressing him politely, says, "Woe is me." Now, if he greets people in church that way, no one will feel welcome. Jeremiah. We need an upbeat preacher for our church, one who can make people happy. We feel unanimously that Jeremiah would be too depressing in any church position. John the Baptist. Well, he's a good preacher and he gets good results, but he dresses weird. And worse, he eats weird stuff. What would happen if he brought a honey-dipped insect casserole to one of our church potluck suppers? Peter. Peter seems to show leadership, but the last thing we need is a preacher who carries a sword around, takes off and goes fishing at the drop of a hat, and smells like fish most of the time. Paul. Now, Paul is a great preacher, but he's very moving. That is, he's always moving here and moving there. How could he keep his mind on the ministry when he always wants to be somewhere else? Well, tonight, I'll tell you this. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than right here with all of you. I've had the privilege now of being back here in Albuquerque for 6 months. And to me, it has been a rekindled joy. Let me tell you how I feel about you as a body. Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, greatly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved." You are my very heart and my soul, my longed for, my joy, my crown. Also, near to my heart is a team. And ever since we first came to New Mexico many moons ago, It was the thought of developing a ministry team. And it happened pretty immediately, because at first I set up the chairs and I set up the PA and I played the worship songs, put the guitar down, opened up the Bible and gave a Bible study. But the church grew and we needed others to set up chairs and we wanted coffee to be made. And so people brought goodies and made coffee, led worship, watched the children as the children's ministry began to grow. And I remember the night in the apartment complex when we were packed to capacity, 125 people. Amazing, I thought. And it was. It was. But today, we have over 150 on staff. And part of the staff is pastoral staff. Part of the staff is administrative staff. Part of the staff is janitorial staff. There's media staff. There's youth ministry or student ministry staff. And so as the church grows, the needs become more apparent, and the need for qualified servants to join that ministry team becomes apparent. On any team, there's a calling. Let's think about a sports team. How does one get on a sports team? They're called. A manager or a coach gives them a phone call and asks that they would try out for a position that is available on that team. So it is in the ministry. There is a calling. It's a calling from God. It's a calling also from man. And in a practical sense, I think it begins probably for a lot of people with a calling from man. Somebody calls them and says, "Would you consider being available for this position?" But then as time goes on and that person or persons are observed in their gifting and in their calling, and then it becomes apparent that God has placed a unique calling upon them. And tonight we are celebrating the fact that God has done that to our pastoral team. And there are some that we're going to recognize in front of you, with you all, for your ratification. Now let me just say that an ordination to the ministry, which is in part what we're doing tonight, is simply a ratification of something God has done. We're not doing it. We're just nodding our heads in agreement, saying, "We've watched you, we've tested you, we have seen the gifts that are in you, and we agree with God." So, these pastors tonight that you're going to be introduced to in a moment are called. They're called. You remember John the Baptist. The description of him is beautiful. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Anyone called into the ministry needs to sense that. And every man who goes into pastoral ministry needs to know that he's a sent man. Sent by God. Tonight, the ones we will present are those who are called by God, have been tested by God's church leadership, and are soon to be ratified by all of you tonight, the church. Sent. It's the same thing Paul said when he wrote to the Romans. And he asked, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on one in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" There has to be a calling. These are ones that we have watched. These are ones that we have tested in terms of their doctrine and wholeheartedly approve of and present them to you. Now, tonight, I'm speaking to you as a church body, but also to those men who are being called into this position as more pastors on our staff, your pastors. Men, because you are called by God, it is God's ministry. You can never say, "Well, this is my ministry." It's the Lord's ministry. You and I are stewards of that ministry. We are ambassadors of that. These are God's people. This is a holy calling. And so it's not our ministry, it's His that we are temporarily stewards of something we've received from God. When Paul addresses the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, and he is told about his up-and-coming arrest, one of the prophets basically says, don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. You're going to have a tough time, and they're going to arrest you, and who knows what might happen. He says something really interesting, and I can sort of see him going, phew. He says, none of these things move me, nor do I even count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I've received it. Paul wrote to Archippus in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So I want to underscore, men, this is not an achieved ministry. This is a received ministry. Huge difference. An achieved ministry seeks the applause of men. A received ministry seeks the pleasure of God. Gentlemen, you have one aim. It's the glory of God above all else. Nothing less, nothing more than to seek His glory. So, pastors, we present to you in a moment, we believe are those who are called. Moreover, these are pastors who are qualified, and that's very important. It's important because we'd ask the question when we talk about calling, well, how do you know they're called? Is it some mystical experience they have? Do they have some vibration set up? Ooh, there it is. It's that tone. It's that pitch. I know I'm called. There's a deep burning in my heart. No, it's something more practical than that. They're qualified by these virtues. Their calling is ratified by their qualifications. This is what I mean. Their calling is confirmed, first of all, by their desire. First of all, there's a strong desire that they have to have this position. Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, if anyone desires the position of a bishop, episkopos, an overseer, he desires a good work. And it always begins with a deep desire. I really want to do this. That's why I guess I frown. I certainly would cock my head and think it's weird if somebody said, and I've actually heard it, I never really wanted to be in the ministry, but God called me. I think if God calls you, you want to. Psalm 37, it says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean He'll give you whatever your heart desires. I think it means He'll implant desires in your heart that are His desires. And there'll be a deep and abiding desire to serve in this capacity. So their calling is confirmed by their desire. Now, gentlemen, I want you to never forget the desire that you had in the beginning and hopefully still have tonight. Never forget that. Nurture it. Never let it go. And I say that because there will be tough times in the ministry. You need to go back in your mind and in your heart to the time when you desired it, that you might desire it again. Because those hard times will challenge that desire. But you nurture it. You never let it go. Also, their calling has been confirmed by their gifting. See, the ministry of pastor isn't for everyone. It's not somebody who says, I feel called. That's great, and we admire that, but now that has to be tested. They have to be gifted. See, whenever God calls somebody, God will equip that person. It's not that God qualifies or calls only those who are qualified at the moment, but when He calls them, He then gifts them or qualifies them. And there are criteria in the Bible for the gift of this position. One of them is he has to be apt or able to teach. So that strong desire mixed with a giftedness that God has given. You're called and gifted as a leader. You're called and gifted as a teacher. Somebody once said, if you want to know if you're a leader, just look behind you and see if anybody's following. If you have the gift, people will notice it because it's been tested. Also, their calling has been confirmed by opportunity. As we do ministry, and gentlemen, as you do ministry, it's going to be very satisfying. In fact, you know right now what I'm talking about. You're going, yes, there's a satisfaction that comes in seizing the opportunity. And let me just say, as ministers of the gospel, seize every opportunity. Seize every opportunity that you can to be faithful in it. Do it with all of your heart. Now, in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul writes, "It is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And if you're wondering, well, how do I do that? How do I stay faithful to God? You just begin right where you are and be faithful in what the Bible says, the little things. Begin where you are. If you're faithful in the little things, God will give you greater things. This is what it means practically. Let's get all this kind of theological stuff out of the way. Men, when you see paper around the campus, pick it up. If you see a light bulb that needs to be changed, why not change it? Well, I'll call that custodial staff. That's their job. Why not just do this? Right on the spot, go get a light bulb, fix it. If you see somebody who's hurting, stop, pray with them, counsel them, minister to them. Be faithful right where you are. And then do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your soul. So seize the opportunity, so be confirmed in your calling and your giftedness that you put every ounce of energy into it. Charles Spurgeon wrote this: "If you plan to be lazy, there are plenty of vocations in which you will not be wanted. But above all, you are not wanted in the Christian ministry. The man who finds the ministry an easy life will also find that it brings a hard death." He said that to his students in his class. So, gentlemen, you are leaders, and we're acknowledging you as such. We're ordaining you as such. It designates a level of spiritual maturity that we acknowledge in your calling, in your giftedness, and in the opportunities you've already seized. Some of you are older in life, and you have a life maturity that has been built around that. Others of you are younger, and yet, though young, we recognize a spiritual maturity that outstrips your years of experience. Thus, we commend you for that. As Paul wrote to Timothy, let no one despise your youth, or don't give anyone an opportunity to look down on you just because you're young. Finally, not only are they called, not only are they qualified, but now this is for the whole body of Christ, the whole church. They need your cooperation. They need your cooperation. What do I mean by that? What I mean is what is written in Hebrews 13, verse 17. This is now to the church. The writer says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." In other words, don't give these guys grief. If you give them grief, it's going to be worse for you. You want to make your life easier, ratify them. Don't be a grief to them. You know what this means? It means that here's a group of men who are designed to be overseers spiritually of your souls to help teach and help nurture, and they have such a heart of love, and they are so gifted, and it's such a joy to see them receive these ordinations tonight. But you want to treat them in such a way that they don't get distracted from their love and their nurture and their calling to serve and to feed you. So they need your cooperation. You know, runners run best in packs. And as they may head up the pack and be at the lead in whatever ministry they're involved in, run with them, not against them. Help them fulfill their ministry. and be submissive unto them as rulers. And they'll in turn serve you and nurture you. Back in 1968, the Olympics were held in Mexico City. In the event, the marathon, it was 7 o'clock p.m., and every runner by that time had crossed the finish line, except for one. Suddenly, everybody in the arena, and the finish line was in an arena. Suddenly, at that time, the lights flashed and the sirens blared, and everybody's attention in that stadium was directed to the gate through which one man came hobbling. He was the last one. Several hours had elapsed. Everybody had come in long before this. The man hobbling wore the colors of the country Tanzania. He fell. His leg was badly injured, bloody and bandaged, and he could really only hobble on one leg, but he was still hobbling. As he was hopping toward the finish line, the crowd arose spontaneously to their feet, gave him a standing ovation as if he had taken the gold medal. His name was John Andrew Ahwari, Tanzanian. When he finally finished his race, someone came up and asked him, "Why didn't you stop long ago? You knew you couldn't run. You knew you wouldn't win. Why even bother? Why not just get out? Your leg's injured." And he said, "My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it." Gentlemen, this church is commissioning you not just to start a race, but to finish it. It's not how you begin, it's how you run, and eventually how you end. So I want to introduce them to you before we take the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to make a distinction. I'll tell you what that is so you're not confused. Tonight, we have two types of people we present to you. One for ordination and one for licensing. Both ministers of the gospel. Both classes able to do work in ministry, performing weddings, funerals, counseling, etc. But we see a difference between licensing and ordination in-house, and that is those that are ordained to the ministry have already been watched, have already been tested. We've looked at their doctrine, their lifestyle, and we know that God has called them, and we're simply ratifying it. Those that we're licensing, we also feel very strongly toward, except we're watching them, and they're in process. And while the ordination is something that is permanent, that is, if they leave here, they take their ordination with them, the licensing is in-house and it has to be ratified by myself and the board of directors every year or until they are ordained. So we recognize a calling, we recognize gifts, but now we want to watch them and test them and prove them and make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, at least for us, that God has indeed called them. But we're proud to present them as part of our pastoral team nonetheless. So, for ordination, I'd like you guys to come up on the platform, is Greg Griego, Carrie Rose, Kevin Miller, and Nick Crespo. Now, Greg, this is Greg. Greg comes to us from Montebello, California, where he served the Lord there for a few years and came to Albuquerque and joined the School of Ministry. And while he was there, he got involved in Light and Liberty Jail Ministries. Today, he's the chaplain of the Bernalillo County Detention Center. And they do great ministry there. I've been so impressed every time I've gone there. His wife Sarah's with us tonight. Sarah, would you stand? There you are. Thank you. Okay. Carrie Rose. He's been coming here a long time. And his wife Penny. Penny, where are you at? Stand up, would you? Carrie is an architect by trade, which is good. He knows how to build things. And he knows how to build into lives strong character. He is the overseeing pastor of our kinships, our small groups. He has for a number of years trained and discipled and built character into men, early morning meetings and men's Bible studies in this church, as well as taking a bulk, the lion's share of the pastoral counseling. He does it all day long, and he's called to do it. He's gifted at it because he walks out of his office from a day of counseling, not with his shoulders bent over, but he's singing. He's happy. He enjoyed it all. So he's just a gifted man, and we love him dearly, and we're glad to ordain him tonight to the ministry. Thank you. Okay. Kevin, how tall are you?
6'5".
6'5". All right. Kevin and his wife, Jennifer. Jennifer, where are you? Stand to your feet, would you? Kevin felt God's call upon his life when he was in high school. So early in his life, he sensed the tug of the Holy Spirit of God, and he started a youth group in his home, he and a friend. He worked down at Lone Tree Bible Ranch for a number of years, working with kids as a counselor. He attended our SOM, School of Ministry, and was involved in youth ministries here at the church during that time. And he is the pastor of the Mid-High Velocity Group, doing a great job influencing kids. Nick Crespo is not here tonight because they're right now in labor, he and his wife, having a baby. And Nick comes to us from Puerto Rico. His dad is a pastor of a Calvary chapel down there. He went to Bible college out at Murrieta, Calvary Chapel Bible College, and he oversees Vertical, the high school group. He's not here tonight. Our thoughts and prayers are with him as well. Now, I'm going to ask our those who are being licensed by this church to come as well and to stand right up on that step. Coy, Donovan, Eric, Justin, Kenny, Kevin, Nate, and Rick Martin, would you guys come on up? Now, there's one man that I called who's not here tonight, Kevin Guido. Kevin is packing, and he's on his way to Montana, where he's going to help Levi in that church plant. And he's going to be the worship leader. So, Kevin Guido, I don't want to say we're losing him, but we're donating him to that ministry in Montana. And then Coy, right up here. Coy, raise your hand. Nice-looking young man with a tie. Coy is also in June moving to Montana, so we're donating him to that ministry. So, Levi, if you're watching, buddy, we're donating a lot, some of our best assets to you, so you owe us. Coy's been involved in the skate outreach and just outreach in general. Donovan, right up here. Donovan, raise your hand. Our worship leader, Eric Lamb, right over here, one of our counselors, runs every man's battle, as well as doing counseling around the church, has for a long time. Justin Marbury, involved in our men's ministry and apologetics ministry, sharp young guy. I can say that now that I'm older. Kenny Riley, what do you do exactly, Kenny? I'm just kidding. Kenny is involved in our worship, runs our recording studio. Yes, we have a recording studio. Our heart's desire is to record for God's glory artists around the state of New Mexico, especially those who want to use their projects for the Lord. And he's done a lot of recording, involved in our musicians fellowship as well. My son, Nate, is an assistant with Vertical, works with Nick Crespo in the high school, and Rick Martin. Rick is a counselor. Rick is the pastor of Silver Saints, and we love him dearly. So I want to give out these certificates of ordination. And Dave and Chip, would you come up? These certificates of license we'll give to you guys afterwards, if you don't mind. We're going to give these certificates of ordination. And would you join me? We'll lay hands on these guys and pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these men, these who are being licensed up on the steps, these who are being ordained. Both, we believe, are called. Both are gifted. We pray for a measure of your Spirit to come upon them. Gift them further. Anoint them further for any other works you may call them to. We pray, Father, that as they have begun, they would endure. As they endure, so they would finish the ministry they have received from the Lord. They would make full proof of their ministry and their gifts. So we commend them to you, and what a delight it is to, after having seen their lives, to ratify what you have done. And thank you, Lord, that they're here to serve with us and to serve us, the body of believers at Calvary of Albuquerque. So we commend both groups to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I'm just going to read a verse of Scripture before we take the Lord's Supper. A final charge that I'd just like to give to all these men. From the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. What a privilege to add more to this team. Now, communion tonight is a little different. We're going to have music. But we're going to ask, instead of us coming to you, we're going to keep it open so that you can get up in groups, if your family's here, if you're a husband and wife, if it's husband, wife, children, if it's a kinship group, if it's a group of friends, or if you're alone, doesn't matter. But we're going to continue in worship. Our pastoral staff, our communion board are going to be up front. Ready if you want to have prayer for any special reason. So as you come up and take the elements from the table and then go back to your seat, you may say, you know, I have a need I'd like you to pray for. Could be a physical need, could be an emotional need, a spiritual need, or you might not want to be prayed for at all. Actually, that's fine. We're not asking everybody in the room tonight to stop for prayer. There would be a logistical problem. But we're here to meet your needs. We're here to pray with you. I don't want to discourage you from that. So as you come forward down this center aisle, or these two, all three of these center aisles, you come down, take communion, stop for prayer if you wish, and then go back to your seat via that way, if you don't mind. And instead of saying, well, I've taken communion now, I can leave early, like that's how I was taught in the church I grew up in. We ask you to find a seat, continue to worship with us so that we can all in unity close together on a good note. Okay, so I'm going to ask the pastoral team to come forward, worship team to come forward, and let's just pause as they're coming forward and thank the Lord for his work. Well, what a delight it has been personally for me, for my wife and myself, over the years to see so many qualified men and women who are called to serve in so many different ministries in this church. And so many of them haven't been recognized, who have served for so long and worked so hard and are behind the scenes. We thank you for each staff member, for each leader in this church, volunteer leader, volunteer servant, on a number of levels. We thank you for each one. We're so thankful that this body truly works like a body, purging out disease, nourishing one another in love. We want most of all, Lord, our hearts to pant after you and our one goal to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this service from Calvary of Albuquerque. If you would like more information about what you've heard in this message or about Calvary of Albuquerque, please visit our website at www.calvaryabq.org. If you have made a decision to follow Christ or would like someone to pray for you, please leave a message with our prayer watch line at 505-344-3658. Thank you, and God bless.